Scary. One Magic Mushroom and one Styx album, and I had a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. So we just had a little conversation. Charles Robinson from Yahoo is going to join us in a minute about whether or not to feed your dogs people food. I heard it's really bad to feed your dogs people food. Do you know that?
Well, I have a Puggle. She'll eat, and if any food's in the room, she's coming for it.
Yeah, see, my dog will eat it, but is it bad to feed your dog people food?
Yeah, it's probably not smart.
Lindsay, do you?
Am I still disconnected? There I am.
There you are.
Maybe she didn't hear it. By the way, big breaking NFL news. The owners have just offered zero preseason games.
Woo-hoo.
Zero, which is exactly the amount they should play. If you think about it, preseason games are a completely unnecessary risk at this point.
Yeah, no question about it. Completely unnecessary. You know, and Lindsay pointed out, well, maybe you could use the dress rehearsal, and yeah, that's all fine and well. Do an intra-squad game that is your dress rehearsal. Keep as safe as possible for as long as possible. Eliminate risk, even on the margins. Like, for example, that jersey exchange thing, I understand limiting that. You are cutting risk. It doesn't make logical sense, but you are curbing risk in those instances. Find every single angle that you can play to keep your guys healthy. And one of the smartest things they can do is to eliminate exhibition games.
You know, the one thing we've talked a lot about on the show that the NFL had going for it was time. They were going to be the last sport in. Does it surprise you with all that time that here we are, they're opening camps this week and they don't have a safety protocol outlined?
I am personally shocked. They talked all the time about how they have time on their side and they're going to be the last ones and they're going to let everybody else be able to figure this out. And so they'll be right on time. And they went ahead with their free agent season. They went ahead with their NBA draft, NFL draft. They've done everything as though the season were going to start on time. And now, as it's time to report to camp, they don't have any rules in place. Now, they're starting to come in place today. But it's unbelievable to me that the NFL, which is a gigantic billion, multi-billion dollar operation, wouldn't have thought ahead to protocols when it comes to actually bringing guys to camp.
And if you think about it, we live in an era of social media. How could they not see it coming that all these players would go directly, all the J.J. Watts and Drew Breeses of the world would go directly to social media and say, hey, they're putting us at risk. There is no safety protocol. How did someone in a meeting, as good of a job as they did with the draft, remember how great that virtual online draft was?
Oh, yeah, it went perfectly.
How did they not see this coming?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, the NFL gets most of this stuff right. And this, they've really blown. Because baseball, they've got all their players in camp now. And the testing rate is, I think they have a 0.05% positive test. It was like eight guys last week. The NBA had zero players test positive in the last week. And the NFL has only agreed to daily testing as of today.
And Mace, think about all the doctors we've seen on TV, whether it be Dr. Fauci or Sanjay Gupta or pretty much any medical expert we follow on TV. They've all at one point or another said, testing is the key. Test, test, test. And in Fauci's case, he thought a bubble concept was key. So the football teams are not going into a bubble like basketball and hockey.
Yep.
And now they're fighting them on daily testing. It just doesn't seem like anybody thought this through.
Yeah, I am very, very surprised. Now, it sounds like they're working things out pretty quickly. I'm just surprised it's as last minute as it has been. They've known this was coming for a very long time. And the idea that during the week camp start, they finally start establishing protocols is amazing to me.
Well, and especially if they're targeting, like, the Rams are supposed to open Sunday night, September 13th. And Funch, do we have Sean McVay, the Rams coach? McVay talked about the fact that he's not convinced, Sean McVay's not convinced, that the start of the season isn't going to be pushed back. Do we have that?
Do we have Sean McVay Funch?
Apparently not.
Guys, I was getting Charles. We have him on the line right now.
Okay, good. Okay, joining us right now from Yahoo. He covers the NFL. Charles Robinson is with us. Charles, thanks for coming on. How are you, man?
Doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Charles, and we appreciate you making time for us. So we were just talking about the fact that the NFL had time, had more time than these other sports. How did we get to the point where they're just agreeing on safety protocols today? What caused that, if anything?
Procrastination. I think part of it was that, I mean, there were a couple of different things. First off, they thought they were going to get a look at other leagues going before them. They thought Major League Baseball was going to start up faster than it did. They thought the NBA, it was going to be the same situation. They were going to have a couple canaries in the coal mine, and then that never happened. And beyond that, I think, 32 different teams had to have, so the NBA is bringing everybody in the bubble. Major League Baseball, there are fewer guys to worry about. So with the NFL having this essentially emergency response plan to if there's a COVID outbreak or they have positive tests, it has to, every franchise, it was left on their own to tailor it. It wasn't like the league said, hey, here's the deal. There's 32 of you. You all have to have the same emergency response plan. Here's how. Instead, the NFL said to franchises, you guys deal with it. And it's interesting because they're doing that with the fans, too. They're like, hey, with whatever your localities are, we're going to let you deal with, the fan situation. But they also did it with this, essentially emergency response plan. Well, by Friday of last week, some of them had submitted their initial draft of it. Some hadn't at all. And that's part of why you saw players do what they did on Sunday, because you had the union that was sitting there Friday night going, we don't even have all these response plans, which is like literally the first thing we have to cross to start to get the testing protocols down and start to hammer out some of these deals. And so, it was incumbent upon the NFL over the weekend to lean on franchise and say, look, you all have to have these in. Our doctors have to look at all of them. The union has to look at all of them. We have to get these approved. But first and foremost, Houston and Kansas City, you got to knock that out right now, because you're bringing in rookies on Monday to start testing. You're going to be the first ones through the breach on this. So, I think part of it was just, having to deal with the union. Everything had to be bargained. They had their hands full with other things, the off-season protocols, the draft, how all these other things were going to run. And, they just never, they were never in a mode of like, hey, we're planning 2 months out or 3 months out. It was literally week by week, almost the entire offseason for the NFL's league office.
Yeah, here's the question. I mean, they did such a good job with their free agent season and their draft and all that stuff. Who is this on? Is it Roger Goodell who dropped the ball on this?
I think part of it is Roger, but I think there's a collective fault shared by all the owners, because, there were disagreements, I think, even amongst the owners about, hey, could we push back the start of training camp? And, there were certain owners that were like, no, everything's run on time this off season. We've already nixed the Hall of Fame game. So, we should be able to make this July 28th date. So I think there was some disagreement within localities about, hey, what's going on in our areas. I live in Houston, and it's the city's hospitals are overwhelmed.
Yep.
We're a bigger hotspot now than we ever have been during this entire course. So Bill O'Brien, J.J. Watt, Cal McNair, the owner, I mean, it's a completely different ballgame for the Houston franchise than it is, say, the Detroit Lions or the Green Bay Packers. You look at Florida, same situation. You're dealing with, cities where governors or where mayors are saying, hey, maybe we need, another mandatory stay-at-home order. And you have governors who are like, no, that's not going to happen. Well, the NFL kind of gets caught in between that. And at the same time, with its other arm, it's dealing with the union, which is saying nothing gets through without us first. Like, I guess the easiest way to explain this to everyone why it's been so complicated, this is like a miniature CBA that's being a collective bargaining agreement that's being worked out for like one season. Normally, a collective bargaining agreement between these two sides takes 10 years of posturing, 6 months of rhetoric, and then like actual 2 months of all the lawyers working on it nonstop just to get that done. Well, now they're trying to do it for one single season, having no idea what things are going to look like, and then on top of it, a health crisis. So, you know, it's complicated. Yeah, I'd say everybody shares in some blame, but for people to have some confidence here, I will just tell you this. Every time they've been up against it, the league, it's been able to get things done. And some of the things that got done today, to me, were top five things. There was like a top five list of things that needed to get done, and they're pretty close to pinging off a couple of those.
What's at the top of that list, Charles? Is it basically the health and safety protocols?
So health and really it's a top four list, but number one is really two tier. There's health and safety protocols, basically the testing. Like, players wanted testing every single day during the initial phase. They basically wanted like 3 weeks of like daily testing, whereas the league was like, hey, we just want to do it every other day. So there's a big argument over that. So now the league has essentially said, look, we're going to do 2 weeks of everyday testing, which they met in the middle. The players wanted 3 weeks. The league, I think, wanted every other day. So they kind of met in the middle with 2 weeks of it. So the initial foray is sort of, we're going to hammer the teams with tests. We're going to see where the percentages are. And if it's below 5% of positives after 2 weeks, then we're going to take it down into the every other day testing protocol. That was a huge one. Now, the other half of part one is economics. How does the cap work? Where, you know, the revenue loss that's going to be taken, will it be over 10 years, the length of the next cap, or will it be all absorbed in the first couple of years? They have a month and a half to get that down. They can work that right up until the regular season. Both sides have agreed, hey, we can have people report for camp and continue to work on this. We'll get it done. So that's number one. So I would say number one on top of the list, getting this testing protocol figured out, was massive, because it knocks out half of number one. Another half they can continue to work on. Now, when you start to work down the list, though, the preseason games. Okay, if they agree now to go to zero preseason games, which frankly I think preserves the balance of the league, if they had one preseason game, 16 teams are going to go, hey, what? Okay, that puts us at a disadvantage. There are 16 other teams that now get to host the preseason game and do a dry run. We don't. Now we have to do our dry one week one of the regular season. That puts us at a competitive disadvantage. I think the owner said, let's do two or zero. And now let's see if this gets worked out. Like, it looks like it's heading that way. But again, I know the league was using that as a bargaining chip for other things. But the fact that they've offered zero is a big deal. That's another one. I'd say the things that are left on the list that are huge, the opt-out. How does the opt-out affect certain players who are at risk, who say, I don't want to go through this season? Does it mean their contract tolls? Do they not get a year accrued toward the pension? You know, all these different aspects of opting out and what that will mean for a number of players. And off the top of my, I cannot for the life of me remember what the other top four things, but those three things are massively important. Just getting those, oh, okay, the fourth thing was, how is camp going to run? Like, every franchise has to be able to tell those particular players, here's how we're going to do camp. Here's what meetings are going to look like. Here's the group sizing. If now there are no preseason games, this is how we're going to stagger, you know, our weeks right into September. Just a more defined, essential plan about, you know, here's how you're going to meet. You're going to do online meetings versus in person, all these different things.
What are the odds? Charles Robinson from Yahoo is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. What are the odds that we see some number of fans in ball games early in the season?
Well, you know, I think it'll happen. See, it's interesting because the fact that it's being left up to teams, and then teams have to go to the league and say, hey, you know, here's what our local authorities say. So Mark Davis comes on and says, this is ridiculous. Like, why, we've done a blanket order on every other part of the offseason. Why are we now deciding some teams can have fans and some can't? Doesn't that, you know, tip the scales of competitive advantage? And then other owners are saying to Mark Davis, like, bro, there's a revenue loss coming. Like, any fans we get in, I don't care if they're in Miami or if they're in Green Bay or if they're in San Francisco, that's money that we're not losing. So shut up. Like, just chill out.
Right,
if you don't
right.
have fans, you know, the New York bases won't have fans. Philly won't have fans. So it's hard to say right now because literally every team has to cook that up with their local, you know, governing body. Houston here, the mayor of Houston wants a stay-at-home order, wants all these restrictions. You know, the governor of Texas is like, nope, we're staying open. This is how it's working. a lot can happen between now and September in almost every single one of these localities.
We're talking to Charles Robinson from Yahoo. Charles, your opinion on whether or not the season will start on time. A lot of people are skeptical. Sean McVay, the Rams coach, even came out today and said he's not sure it's going to start on time. Rams are supposed to open the season against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football at that new stadium on September 13th. Is that going to happen?
I think if they get everyone in on July 28th, I think, yeah, I actually think it could start on time. And I think that's because you will have, especially if there are no preseason games, that mitigates risk considerably. And it essentially just draws upon 32 teams to stay disciplined. Now, if one of those teams doesn't, or two of those teams doesn't, it's going to fall upon those teams now. You're not going to see the league just suddenly deactivate everything because they've had one team where, you know, an Andrew Whitworth situation happens, somebody goes out to lunch and the whole family's infected, and next thing you know, four players are sidelined with this. So unless there, I think unless there's a litany of issues with a number of different teams, if they end up eliminating all the preseason games, you essentially have, like I said, a month and a half to try and get this self-contained, you know, there's 32 bubbles, like the NBA bubble, there's 32 yep. bubbles now. And everybody's going to have to get on the same page. But I guarantee you the league is going to tell these teams, once this is all hammered out and guys start to report on the 28th, the full squad reports, and they start taking the tests and the first 4 days basically off while they're all going through the testing, the league's going to tell every franchise, listen, we are not nursemaiding you through this. If you screw this up, we're not going to stop all league operations because suddenly you're putting yourself at risk and you're going to lose games. Make sure your players know the discipline's on you, it's on your staff, it's everybody, you know, who's dealing with this. You control your bubble. If you screw up your bubble, we're not going to stop. 32 teams aren't going to come to a halt because Cincinnati can't get it right.
Right, right. So you're all on your own at that point. Get it right or what? Cincinnati would just forfeit games?
That's the question. You know, it's. I think the league would step in. First off, everyone's supposed to have, you have the expanded practice squad rosters, okay? Everyone's got their expanded, you know, list of street free agents. I don't quite know what they're going to do. My guess is the protocols, now that we kind of know what the reporting protocols are, you can treat street free agents the same way. If somebody has to pick up a street free agent, you're going to be out the first 5 days. So they sign you, you come in, you test. If you're negative, you test again. If you're negative, after the fourth day, the fifth day, you can start practicing with that team. Now, if something happens late in the week, so let's say Saturday, all of a sudden, we got test results back and four offensive linemen tested positive, that team is up a creek. Like, it better have whatever's on its roster, it better have the ability to be viable come Sunday, because they're not going to all of a sudden go, hey, you know, I'm not saying they're going to force teams to forfeit, but they're going to put teams in a position that you better be viable come Sunday if you have an outbreak on Saturday and 31 other franchises are still okay. That's on you. I think this is part of the win-loss equation now for NFL teams this season. Fans got to understand that. If your team is disciplined and your team stays healthy, it's more likely than not your team is going to have success this year versus other teams that are not disciplined and have issues.
All right. Hey, listen, Charles, thanks very much. All great information. We appreciate it. And let's stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Call me anytime, guys. Sorry about being long-winded. This whole thing.
No, it was great.
No, it was great stuff, man. Great stuff. Thank you very much.
Stay safe.
Complicated is what it is.
He thinks they're going to start on time. He's one of the first people I've heard say that. You're back to having that dilemma now on September 13th. Dodgers, Astros, or Rams, Cowboys?
Well, I can go boo the Astros on the 12th, right?
Correct.
And go see the Rams on the 13th.
If they're letting fans in either place. You saw that both the Jets and the Giants today announced no fans for the season.
Yes. Baltimore announced 20,000 fans.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're going to let fans into SoFi or not.
I think that's a county decision or a mayor decision or a governor decision or something
like that. So many
of
those have gone well so far.
Yeah, I know. It's obviously working.
Jeez.
It's all working so well. Our state and local officials, look where we are, for God's sake. All right, coming up next, John, bad news about movies, bad news about concerts.
I'm tired of bad news. What
but
now?
Good news about sports stadiums. Huh? I will explain it next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. John, we've been talking a lot about concerts. Hey, you know, when are concerts coming back? Are we ready for concerts? Lollapalooza co-founder Mark Geiger predicts there may not be concerts or music festivals in the U.S. until 2022.
Ah, what does he know?
He organizes one of the biggest ones. 2022. He says, in my humble opinion, it's going to be 22. It's going to take that long before what I call the germophobia economy to be slowly killed off and be replaced what I call the claustrophobia economy, which is where everybody wants to go out, have dinner, have their life back, go to festivals, go to shows, go to movies. So he says 2022. Do you think it will take that long?
Hope not. Boy, that'd be depressing. But here's the thing. You're not going out. I've been kind of going out. And most of these places, people are out. I mean, it's just they're all wearing masks and it's social distancing. And I think people are anxious for the opportunity to gather.
I'm anxious for it.
Yeah, but you're reluctant to do it. I think there's a whole portion of society that's already doing it. It's just a matter of it, you know.
Isn't that why we are where we are?
Probably, but it all depends on a vaccine. Let's say they come up with a vaccine tomorrow. Then it takes 12 to 14 months to distribute it.
Correct.
Right? So that would be end of summer 2021.
So rich people would be safe because rich people would get their vaccines right away.
But it doesn't matter. That's one of those instances where income's not going to matter at a concert.
No, but 12 to 14 months puts us in 2021,
fall of 2021.
So he's saying 2022. It's not much different because there's not a vaccine tomorrow.
Right, but they're getting closer. My son sends me updates every day about any time that there's even close to a vaccine.
Oh, that's good.
So his update today was Oxford coronavirus vaccine induces strong immune response. Early trial results suggest from NBC
Excellent.
News. So there we go. Hope on the horizon.
Meanwhile, I mentioned, concerts, I mentioned movies. So, John, what I've said all along is that if it's a high leverage moment, right? In other words, if it's something I really, really, really want and don't want to live without. Like, for example, I've been going to the acupuncturist. I wear my N95 mask. She wears an N95 mask and a shield. I'm willing to take that risk because acupuncture is an important treatment for my body. Makes me feel better. So I've taken that risk. I've said a bunch of times on this show, if Christopher Nolan's Tenet comes out, I will be the first in line. I will wear my M95 mask. I will not eat popcorn or drink soda. I will keep that sucker on the entire time, and I will watch the movie Tenet because I love Christopher Nolan, and I love his movies, and it looks fantastic. Warner Brothers today has announced that Tenet will not open August 31st as planned. Instead, it will open at some undetermined future date.
Oh, man, really?
Yep.
Yeah, so they're just shelving everything.
So it's going to take a while for movies. But I've got good news for sports.
Which
there is a brand new company based in Pittsburgh that has developed a drone that can fly through an entire stadium in 3 hours and sanitize everything.
Yeah! Sanitation drone.
The drone utilizes electrostatic technology to quickly and safely sanitize large areas, bringing hope that major sporting events and concerts and large events could become a reality in the COVID-19 era. Arius Fog Company is based in Pennsylvania. He says, quote, it wasn't going to be something that's going away in a short period of time. There needs to be a solution to get people back to the things they enjoy doing. And their company has these big drones that that charge disinfectant as it passes through the system nozzles, causing it to be attracted to ground surfaces and thoroughly coats them. So the flying disinfecting drones may be the key to where we're going in terms of getting fans into games.
Bring on the disinfecting drone. I think the time is now. It's never
the
been
time
better.
Is now. Yes.
Fly away, drones. Fly away.
So, John, every day you say to me, hey, at 5:30.
Yeah, I got a good one today.
That's all me. At 5:30, it's all me. I've dug something up. It's so important, and I'm saving it for 5:30. It's the 5:30
not only that,
big story of the day with John.
Not only that, I got a good one of those, and I have a game that I'm predicting Michael Funchess.
Funch Day.
Will win. He's never won a game, ever, since we started Game of Games. Did not win in June.
Didn't win in June.
Has not won in July.
Yep.
Am I allowed to say that he will not have a full August? There's some changes coming to the station. No one's going anywhere.
Yeah.
But Funch is running out of time to post a win.
Yeah. Hurry it up, Funch.
I think today is the day.
Here comes a 30-day winning streak.
Yep. 30-day winning streak.
It's
Funch Day.
It's going to start somewhere, and I think it's going to start today.
All right. Current score, by the way, is Lindsay 4, Ireland 4, Mason 3, BCAM as a fill-in 1, and Funch scoreless.
All changes today.
It all changes today. Coming up next, John's big thing, plus Game of Games, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Okay, just want to give you guys an update. Dodgers beat Arizona last night 9-2 at Dodger Stadium, an actual baseball game, an exhibition game. They will play again tonight, then they will host the Angels tomorrow night, then the Dodgers open on Thursday against the San Francisco Giants. That is an actual opening day for a 60-game season. Baseball is back. LAFC blew out the Galaxy.
Yeah, not 6-2. Close.
Diego Rossi scored 4 goals in that game. LAFC will play Portland on Thursday. And then the NBA is just 10 days away. Lakers versus Clippers, 10 days away. And, John, is it this Saturday we've got a scrimmage?
Yeah, 9 a.m., Lakers-Orlando Magic from Orlando. I would say Orlando's the home team, but they're no fans. They're actually going to play a couple of scrimmages before that, and then the Lakers' actual opener, which we'll have for you here, is next Thursday at 6 o'clock, tip-off at 6 o'clock, Lakers-Clippers.
Yeah.
That's Thursday the 30th.
That is so
not
exciting.
This Thursday, but next Thursday.
Hey,
this
we got Saturday games and stuff to talk about. This is awesome.
Yeah, pretty amazing. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so
what is
this
gigantic thing you wanted to get to?
All right. Every once in a while, I will hear someone's life story, and I'll feel like my life is being wasted. It doesn't happen a lot, but it happened this weekend when John Lewis died.
Oh,
The civil rights icon who had, I mean, if you read up on his life without getting overly political, I mean, the guy had an extraordinary life. Like he lived a full life. Like he made the most out of the time he was on earth and really made a difference.
I mean, he spoke at the March on Washington.
Right.
With Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, he's just a civil rights leader.
Okay, so here's what I didn't know. Did you see the movie Selma?
I did.
All right. So the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
Yep.
The one where those guys were beat up. They were beat up by Alabama state troopers in 1965.
Yeah, John Lewis was beaten up in that.
Right. He was one of the guys that was beaten up by they were peaceful demonstrators, and Alabama state troopers beat these guys up.
Yep.
I never knew this, though. Edmund Pettus. Do you know who that is?
I think Confederate leader?
He was a Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, my God.
So I was watching the Sunday shows. I know you watch them sometimes.
Yeah, I watch them all the time.
Okay, did you watch Meet the Press this week?
I did.
Okay, did you see the interview with Jim Clyburn, the representative from
South Carolina?
Yeah.
Yes.
So he had a pretty good idea, I thought.
Yeah.
He thinks they should take the name off of the Edmund Pettus Bridge and call it the John Lewis Bridge. Now, I know that's going to... I mean, because John Lewis was firmly in one political camp. But I think that would be, like, one of the cool things in history if they could make that happen. The bridge where this guy devoted... He was arrested, like, 50 times, and, you know, he was trying... He probably did more for civil rights than almost anyone his age, right? At least off the
top
of...
By the way, he was arrested in the last 10 years protesting something. I mean, he's was arrested many times in his career.
Right, but he had his skull fractured by the police in Selma when he was marching across that bridge toward Montgomery. The state troopers, you know, shot tear gas and beat him up with clubs, and it's all in the movie Selma if you want to watch it. But that would be a pretty extraordinary thing if they could get it done. Clyburn, this representative from South Carolina, is trying to get it done. Lewis served 3 decades in the House, returned to that bridge annually to reenact the march. Over the past few years, it got pretty big. He had a lot of other lawmakers and community leaders with him. So Clyburn, who's the House Majority Whip and the senior member of the Congressional Black Caucus, basically argued on Meet the Press over the weekend that they should change the name.
Yeah.
From the Edmund Pettus Bridge. He was a Confederate Brigadier General and a U.S. Senator before becoming the Grand Dragon of the Alabama Ku Klux Klan.
Wow.
So I can't imagine there would be a ton of opposition to this.
No.
But you know there always is. But still, I thought that would be, if they could pull it off. And I was a history major. And this is one of the things that, like, I never knew about what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Right.
Did you? I never knew until recently.
I did.
You know, I learned from listening to a podcast from Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr said he never knew about it until this year when Andre Iguodala told him about it.
Well, I always knew about Juneteenth, but I never really thought much about it. I knew it existed. I didn't know that it was celebrated. And this is the first year that it really, on a national scale, was celebrated everywhere.
Right. And so the reason I wanted to bring this up was... I want to encourage people to research it and make their own decisions. But this Jim Clyburn, this representative, was on Meet the Press over the weekend, and he taught me a lot of things I didn't know. I knew a lot of stuff about John Lewis and his history, and I knew that he got beat up on the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
Yep.
But I didn't know who Edmund Pettus was. And now that I know, I think this would be an extraordinary gesture if they could get it done.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of... right for the times, you know, we're right in the middle of
this movement,
this whole
we're
Black
right
Lives
in the
Matter
of
movement.
This Black Lives Matter movement, absolutely.
And I think that would be an extraordinary gesture if our government, which is constantly at loggerheads over everything from Republican versus Democrat to Black versus White, whatever, I if they could get this done and explain to people why they're doing it, I think it would be an extraordinary gesture. So I'm not going to tell anybody how to feel about it. I want you to go do your own research.
Yeah, but in the end, John Lewis's career is nothing but admirable.
Well, he's
and
going
amazing.
To be
regardless of party. I mean, the man fought for civil rights in this country and gave his blood on that bridge where he got the hell kicked out of him, and spoke at the March on Washington. I mean, his status as a civil rights icon, I think, surpasses what political party he happened to be from.
Well, and you're going to hear a ton about John Lewis this week. I would imagine his memorial will be televised by multiple networks.
Yep.
He's going to get, you know, hail fellow well met
to hail
John
fellow
Lewis.
Well met. Amazing life.
But
amazing
I don't
life.
Think you're going to be hearing a lot because of who he was about Edmund Pettus. But if they could get this bridge renamed, the John Lewis Bridge, I think it would be really extraordinary. So anyway, I encourage people to study that, see what you can learn and you know, make your own decisions. But I thought that was this guy over the weekend, Clyburn, really, when he started talking about this, really opened my eyes. And I thought I knew a lot about that because I watched the movie and I remembered it. But now this seems to be the right thing to do.
Look, I went to really good schools. I thought my public high school was excellent, Maumee High School. I studied at Bowling Green. I think it's a totally solid institution. It's the Harvard of Northwest Ohio, without question. But there is a lot of history that I didn't know about. There's a lot of history that I like. For example, should you really walk into the musical Hamilton and walk out knowing more history than you did? Like, I knew nothing
about
Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, I don't know, but you do. I mean, when you...
Did you know anything about... You're a history major. Did you know anything about Alexander Hamilton?
A little bit, but not as much as I did after I watched Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean, there are big gaping holes in my knowledge of history that I've tried to fill over the years. But, yeah, I would be completely in support of renaming that bridge. I had no idea that Edmund Pettus was the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, pretty, and that was the bridge where all those guys got beat up. Pretty extraordinary, huh?
All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games.
Funch
John's
Day!
Got the game today. Some people think it's going to be Funch Day. We will find out. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Woo-woo! Yeah! Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, it's Monday, and hey, it's Sports Week. We've got sports going on this week. Got a little Dodger exhibition action tonight against the Diamondbacks. Opening day for the Dodgers is Thursday. LAFC plays again on Thursday. 10 days away from Lakers-Clippers. It is a great time to be a sports fan in Los Angeles. And we are gaming here as well. In Game of Games right now, Ireland and Lindsay are tied for the month of July, 4 apiece. I've won 3 times. Brian Kamenetsky is a guest host, won once, and Funch, poor Funch, oh, Funch. Funch is scoreless so far.
Not despair, Michael Funches, because today, as I've been predicting for many days,
I know what's coming,
is the alumni game.
Here we go. Here
now,
we go.
Funches has won this 4 times in a row. So I...
you may as well just give it to him now.
Now, well, Funch, I'm actually going to give you a choice to even tip the scales further. We can play it the old-fashioned way, where I give each one of you a name, and you get to ponder it, and if you miss it, I go on to the next one.
I like that version.
Or I could do name as your buzzer, and Funch, you get to decide, do you want to do one at a time or name as your buzzer?
I think we do one at a time.
Okay.
Good.
So we're going to one at a time. I'm going to give you guys a name of 3 different people that all went to the same college. If you get it on the first guess, you get 2 points. Any other guess, you get 1 point. First person to 4 points wins.
Okay, got it.
Lindsay, are you ready?
I'm ready to lose.
All right, Funch and Mason. Mason will go down swinging because he doesn't want to be behind me and you, Lindsay.
Nope.
Mason's in it to win it.
Whatever it takes.
Lindsay, the late owner of the Blazers and Seahawks, Paul Allen. Where did Paul Allen go to school?
I'm going to go with Oregon.
That is incorrect. Funch, former Patriots quarterback Drew Bledsoe.
Washington.
Incorrect. Mace, Clay Thompson.
Washington State.
Washington State is correct.
Yeah.
It was either Washington or Washington State.
Mason takes the lead. All right.
Missed it by one Pullman.
All right. Funch, Broncos linebacker Von Miller.
Texas?
Incorrect. Mace, DeAndre Jordan, former Clipper and current Net, DeAndre Jordan.
Kansas?
Oh my God.
No, Lindsay?
I can't.
Alex Caruso from the Lakers.
I don't know.
I don't know it. I'm going to go
take
Auburn.
A guess. Auburn is incorrect.
Yeah, it's Texas A&M.
Darn it is. It's darn Texas A&M. And Funch, you blew another.
I know.
Funch. Okay. Mace?
Yep.
Sylvester Stallone.
He went to USC.
Incorrect. Lindsay? Dan Le Batard.
Dan Le Batard. NYU?
No, Funch, Ray Lewis.
To you, Miami.
Miami is correct, and Michael Funches is on the board.
Well, I should have known that, I guess.
All right, Mace, comedic genius Steve Martin.
Now, wait, I went first the last time.
Oh, okay, so Lindsay goes. Steve Martin.
Syracuse?
No, Funch, Jack Black.
Jack Black. UCLA?
Yes!
And
Michael Funches leads 2-1. Okay. Funches 2. Mason 1. Lindsay 0. All right, Lindsay, you went first that time, right?
Sure did.
Funch, if you get this, your long nightmare is over. Are you ready?
Yes.
Recent guest on the Mason and Ireland show, Joe Buck.
Joe Buck. Did he go to University of St. Louis?
No. Mace, Mavericks owner Mark Cuban.
I think that is Penn State.
Incorrect.
Ugh.
Lindsay, Victor Oladipo, all-star for the Pacers.
Kentucky.
Incorrect. The correct answer, all three of you missed it. Joe Buck, Mark Cuban, and Victor Oladipo all went to the University of Indiana.
Indiana.
Okay, still Mason 1, Funches 2, Lindsay 0. All right, Mace, this one's to you. Former Dodger and Giant closer, Brian Wilson.
I'll say Arizona State.
No. Lindsay, Sixers guard, recently turned forward, Ben Simmons.
Oh, I know this one. LSU?
Correct. And Lindsay is on the board.
Lindsay's on the board.
Yeah. Funch 2, Mace 1,
Lindsay.
0.
I got one. That's like the first time I've gotten over in this game.
Mace, you went first that time, right?
Yep.
Lindsay, Dodgers legend Kirk Gibson.
I don't know.
Take a guess.
Let's go with Michigan.
Incorrect. Michigan. Funch, Cavs owner Dan Gilbert.
Oh, now I know it.
Arizona?
No. Mace, Warriors forward Draymond Green.
Michigan State.
Correct.
Oh. I almost added the state just for
I could have gotten that one on the first.
Okay. So it's Funches 2, Mason 2, Lindsay 1. Lindsay went first that time, so Funch, it's back to you. If you get it,
you finally
win it.
Oh, I'm rooting for you, Funch.
Celebrity chef Guy Fieri.
Oh, my God. Ohio State?
No. Mace, former Eagles quarterback Randall Cunningham.
Oh, darn it.
UNLV.
Correct. Ah, and Mason is one away from breaking Funches' heart. And Mace, you can lock it up. You go first here.
Nice.
Clippers guard Patrick Beverley for the win.
North Carolina.
Incorrect. Lindsay, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones.
I know this.
Need an answer. Take a guess.
Illinois.
Funch, long ball hitting drinking golfer John Daly.
Alabama?
Close. The answer was Arkansas.
I knew it from Jerry Jones.
Yes.
So Mason 3, Funches 2, Lindsay 1. We go back to Lindsay. Lindsay, Playboy founder Hugh Hefner.
Oh, I know this because I watched this documentary, but I don't remember it.
Excellent.
Take a guess.
NYU?
No.
I know it's on it. But.
Funch, Stephen Colbert.
Stephen Colbert. Oh.
Damn it. No, I know it.
Ugh.
Take a guess, Funch.
University of Wisconsin.
No. Mace for the win.
No.
Mike Trudell.
Oh.
University of Minnesota.
No!
It's Northwestern!
It
crap!
Is Northwestern!
Oh!
Oh, fudge! She let you back in.
I knew it! I knew it right as soon as I said it!
Oh, my gosh! A fumble! All right. Fudge! You can win it if you get this right. Oh, what a reprieve.
Oh.
Funch, late, great, Sports Center anchor, Stuart Scott.
North Carolina, baby.
It's over! Funch's is victory.
That is the biggest choke in history. that Mike Trudell, the Northwestern, is the biggest choke in the history of this game.
You didn't take it on purpose.
No, I did not take it on purpose. Oh, yeah, I did. I tanked it on purpose.
Yeah, Lindsay, when I said Stephen Colbert, did you know it was Northwestern?
Yes.
Oh, Funch, congratulations,
Thank you, guys.
Way to go, Funch. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you.
You shouldn't have won, but you did.
How are you going to celebrate, Funch? What are you going to do tonight?
I don't know.
Go to Disneyland.
Yeah, probably go to Disneyland.
If I could.
It's closed.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, it is that time. How are you doing, guys? It is time for Crosstalk with Alan Sliwa. That's next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
It's the five words that light up Los Angeles every weeknight. Hey, how you doing, guys? Joining us right now is Alan Sliwa. Sliwa, what are you doing, man?
Is that my energy? Is it that bad? My energy is that low, isn't it?
Hey, how you doing, guys? And it is. It's kind of your thing, though. Your thing is you're dry. But
yeah.
You grow to appreciate it when you start hearing Curtis on the show.
You, by the way, you threw me off so bad. When you said, what'd you say, University of Minnesota for Trudell?
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. I thought he went to Northwestern.
That was a total choke.
You sold me on the wrong college.
Yeah, a total choke. Total choke job.
How are you guys doing?
It has been one of the best shows I've ever been associated with. Don't you think, John, this is like the show that I would say, if you ever want to know what the Mason and Ireland show sounded like at its best, it would be this show that we just did.
This show has been excellent. Until now, Slee, well, you have to kind of bring it home.
Until now. It's been excellent until now.
Okay, here's a question. Here's a question.
Here's the question. Got it.
I'm a little confused on this, Mace. So you still have not gone to a restaurant.
Still have not gone to a restaurant, correct. I've ordered,
have
but
you,
I have not
have
gone
you,
to
Alan?
Restaurant.
Yeah, I have. And by the way, John, I think you were explaining it a little bit earlier just about the outdoor seating.
Yeah.
I feel like they have it sort of down as best as they can right now, but I feel like people are properly spaced. Everybody's wearing a mask. But Mace, I thought you were one of the first that you said if they opened up, let's say SoFi, for example, you would go. What's the difference on that front?
The difference is dinner is just food. Like, I can get food. I know how to get food to my house. I call Grubhub or I get Instacart or, you know, I have whatever delivered. I don't really have to go out for food. I'm totally satisfied by the food that I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get NFL football. That's something I can't get. That's what I would call a high leverage life moment to be at a football game, particularly a Rams football game on opening night at SoFi Stadium, where I am both a personal seat license holder and a season ticket holder. That's different. You see the difference between going to the opening of brand new stadium and my personal seat licenses and going to dinner?
Definitely a humongous difference, but yes. I think, at least so far in my experience, John, I don't know if you feel the same way. I've been okay with the experience. Like, I feel that it's not And I haven't gone, maybe the restaurants I've gone to, it hasn't been, you know, crazy packed, crazy busy, but I still feel comfortable, like comfortable enough. Like, you know how you say you go on walks every morning?
Yes.
Do you ever, are there a lot of moments where you don't feel comfortable? Like, I think that could be more where you're crossing paths with people.
I feel totally comfortable taking walks in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a totally easy. I do pull up my mask when I'm walking by somebody who's like a little old lady who's working in her yard or whatever, mm-hmm. planting tulips or whatever little old ladies do in their yards. I try to wear the mask when I'm going by them, and then I take the mask back off. So if I see somebody coming with a dog, because I walk out to the street and let them have the sidewalk, that kind of thing. But yeah, no, I feel totally secure on a walk. I'm just being careful. I mean, let's be honest, guys. Mm-hmm. Whatever we're doing, it's not very good.
Right.
whatever hacks we have into this COVID world, it's not working because LA's a mess.
All right, so you guys, I came across something on Twitter that caught my eye, and so I did it for you guys.
Okay,
good. It's a game called Guess My Lie, okay?
Okay.
Now, here's how it works. I'm going to give you a list of five famous people who I've either met or have been within a few feet of.
Okay.
But one of them is a lie, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to give you this list of five people. Lindsay, you can go first, and then Sliwa, and then Mace, you'll probably figure it out. But
okay.
But Funch, you can guess too. Here are my five. Are you guys ready? Here we go.
Yep, ready.
Number one, Sandy Koufax.
Okay.
Number two, Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, George Clooney. Number four, Kanye West. And number five, Leonardo DiCaprio. All right, so Koufax, Will Smith, Clooney, Kanye, or DiCaprio. Lindsay, guess my lie. Four of those people I have either met or been within a few feet of. One, I have not. Who's the lie?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay. Fudge.
I say Leo.
Okay. Sliwa.
I'll go Clooney.
Okay. Mace.
Let's see.
Koufax, Will
I was
Smith,
with you when we met him.
George Clooney, Kanye West, Leonardo
from
DiCaprio.
Laker games. Leo, I would say from Laker games.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to Will Smith or George Clooney. I'm going to say it's Clooney.
Mason and Sliwa both correct. George Clooney is the one I have not met or been within a few feet of. Mace, you and I were at Vero Beach when we tried to get Koufax on the show. He told us no. Will Smith, I sat right by and talked to when the Lakers played the Sixers in the 2001 NBA Finals. I have never met nor been near Clooney. Kanye turned me down four different times for a sideline interview at Madison Square Garden. And I once guarded Leonardo DiCaprio, and he guarded me in a pickup basketball game at Sports Club LA.
That's awesome. That's
fancy.
There we go.
Name
fancy is right.
Did not That's score. Right. Did not score on me. I didn't score on him either.
Mace, weren't we at the game where it was Kanye and Kim?
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about that one time in the media room?
I was so going to walk up to Kim. I was so going to walk up to Kim.
Kim, well, Kim's been on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I know you say that. I don't remember it at all.
I, of course, do because I was, at the time, borderline obsessed with her, and then she married Kanye.
Because what I wanted more than anything
future
was a picture.
First lady, Kim
Kardashian. How many likes do you think I could get on a picture with me and Kim Kardashian?
Well, if you could get that magazine cover picture where she was naked, you could get like 2 million.
Yeah. I so wanted to walk up to Kim Kardashian, and I had the perfect line.
What would you say?
I would say, hey, I just wanted to tell you I appreciate what you're doing for criminal justice reform.
And she would then
she would say
what?
Well, let's take a picture. I think
that
would
be
the natural reaction.
Let me retweet it right away.
And Kanye, my opening line was, Kanye, I really appreciate your faith.
Well, you know,
let's take a picture.
Did you guys see who Kanye would make vice president if he is elected?
Oh, no, he's completely off the rails right now.
No, he did a campaign event over the weekend.
Yeah,
but a completely off the rails campaign event.
Hey, I would appreciate it if you would refer to him as President Kanye.
By the way, didn't even get on the ballot in South Carolina. Tried to raise the signatures and couldn't get them.
And the vice president, you guys didn't hear about this? None of you?
No.
Funch, you didn't hear about it?
Yeah, I heard about it.
It's Jay-Z, Vice President Jay-Z. I don't know how Jay-Z's going to feel playing second fiddle to Kanye.
I don't know if Jay-Z's going VP.
But can you imagine the party?
Yeah, Jay-Z's not going VP. He's like, screw you, Kanye. I'm top of the ticket.
By the way,
and then Beyonce becomes first lady.
Yeah, exactly. Beyonce and Kim Kardashian hosting parties at the White House.
Now, what I read, and you guys would know more because you probably follow this stuff more, but I read that they're concerned about Kanye mentally at the moment.
Yeah, like we've got that locked in right now. I mean, come on, he can't be. Kanye's a little different, but President Kanye will be fine.
Yeah, but like they're concerned for him.
When did he announce that he was going to...
Like 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago. After virtually all of the states had closed the process by which he could get on the ballot.
It's a minor problem.
Perfect time. Most of the states will not let you on the ballot anymore. You know what I'm going to do? I'm running for president.
I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah, Kim Kardashian furious at Kanye West for talking about North at the rally.
That was kind of, that wasn't very nice.
That wasn't very nice.
But
yeah.
It's a minor setback for President Kanye.
President Kanye. You despise Kanye. You do not like Kanye.
I don't get Kanye.
No. You don't appreciate the creative genius that is Kanye.
But I think he should lend his genius that you keep talking about to President.
He is, by the way, Kanye is a creative genius.
There you go. That's what we need in the White House.
Funch, is he still putting out? I literally have no idea. Is he still putting out albums?
Yes, there is a rumor that he's going to be putting out an album in a couple weeks. So all this president stuff is like, you know, coincidental.
Promotion for the album.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from him in forever. I think since him and Jay-Z lasted an album, I don't think I've heard anything from him since then.
So, Sliwa, did you see these pictures of LeBron with his shirt off? He looks like a superhero.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I now feel better than ever about my prediction that the Lakers are going to run the table and win the whole thing. I think LeBron's going to put the team on his back and just carry him.
It's interesting. Today, you know, they've been doing those Zoom calls every single day, but JaVale said this and Coach said this morning. They both said that the fact that they're all in Orlando is, I don't know if helping is the right word, but there's less distractions, right? Like all these guys care about is playing basketball and trying to win an NBA championship. And Lakers are in such a unique position than a lot of these other teams. A lot of these other teams don't even have a shot to win at all. So I think it is, John, to kind of play off the point of LeBron, and they'll eventually announce MVP and all that chatter. And I saw something on ESPN today. People are putting their predictions. Nobody's even talking about LeBron. At the end of the day, as MT says, the only MVP that really matters is the finals MVP. So he looks ridiculous, and I think the team will be ready.
So, no sign of the Morris twins in Orlando. Does that hurt the Lakers or the Clippers more, do you guys think?
That's a good question.
Marcus played
more minutes than Markieff. I think Marcus probably plays a more prominent role for the Clippers than Markieff does for the Lakers.
But I think the Markieff part has a lot to do also with Montrezl Harrell. So, that he's still not back too, right? So, that there's another player for the Clippers.
The Clippers would be down two big men.
Mm-hmm. Key big men, you know, kind of helps them go small a little bit. And even for Markieff, even though that's not a household name, he plays a specific role for the Lakers. So, you know, obviously not helpful on both of those fronts. Did you guys, by the way, see, and I think you guys may have even hit on this, how good does that make you feel that they had 346 tests, zero came back positive?
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, this is what Adam Silver was talking about. He felt like they could get the bubble so it was fully enclosed. And now he said what they have to worry about is he thinks there's still going to be positive tests. He doesn't think it's going to be this good every time. But as long as those numbers are to a minimum and nothing spreads, they've got the inside of the bubble sealed now. So that's the good news.
And get this, somehow baseball last week did 10,548 tests and only got six positives. They're testing support people. They're support those 60-man rosters. They're testing everybody. So somehow it's working. I mean, the key to it, and we've heard this on a national scale too, right? The key to it is testing. Mm-hmm. And once, if you do have a positive test inside the bubble, John, what you immediately do is you contact trace. Who else did that person come in contact with? Now, if they played in a game, that's quite a few people that you've got to test for a few days to see if they might have contracted it. But if they haven't played a game, who have they talked to? Who have they hung out with? You contact Trace, and you go back, and you figure out where he might have picked it up or who he might have passed it off to. So when you've got it limited to this few number of cases, in this case, zero amongst players, if somebody tests positive, you immediately contact Trace, and you can put that fire out.
So Mace, what would they do if... Just to play off your scenario right there, and it's going perfectly as planned so far, but of course, I think we would all expect that hiccups are bound to happen at some point. But what happens, yep. Mace, if a player tests positive and they had a game, and you know how you're just saying contact tracing?
Yep.
Isn't that going to take some time to kind of wait to see, all right, well, I guess really at the point is, can both teams end up with, they don't even have to have positive tests, but just quarantine wise, won't those players have to wait before they could play again?
Well, it's a good question.
Or do they test right away and then whatever?
Let me put on my epidemiologist hat. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Like if somebody tests positive right after a game, can that take a team out? Does the whole team have to go into quarantine?
I don't know the answer to that. I think that the whole team has to get tested.
But it takes a while for the viral load to build up. So it takes 3 days. So in other words, you contract it, and then 3 days later, you have enough virus in your system to test positive.
All right.
So it's
Lindsay,
that three-day period that's a scary period.
Lindsay, tomorrow, try and get somebody that's in the bubble. There are more and more people down there. Like Rachel Nichols was let into Laker practice today. I think McMenamin's going down there. I know Andy Bernstein's going down there next week. But somebody in the bubble will know that. Chris Haynes wrote a big article about it over the weekend that they're starting to let him do stuff. So we'll see if we can get somebody inside the bubble to clear stuff like that up.
I heard that audio piece you guys played on Dwight. That's kind of interesting, huh?
It's weird.
It is, and I say it's weird only because, I mean, this is used as an example. Zero positive tests at 346. Like, there's something's working in there, and I guess it's that extra precaution. But John, you were making the comparison that there's a lot of people out there that, not a lot, but let's just say there's a percentage of people out there that don't believe in vaccines, like you mentioned. You know, certain type of things. They just mentally they have their own way of thinking of things. I feel like for Dwight to have these two different circumstances where he's, I guess, in a sense, been warned, throw the mask on, and hopefully when he's doing all these Instagram Live and everything else, maybe that's also motivating other people to throw a mask on.
The mask isn't for you. It's for other people.
Right.
You know, that's the reason it's really easy for me to wear a mask. I don't understand. I know Dwight is saying that and you know what's interesting is, Dwight was one of the people that wanted to keep the Black Lives Matter movement on the front burner. And every time he does stuff like this, the story becomes Dwight's not wearing a mask.
Yeah, instead, and it's turned into anti-masker, anti-vaxxer. That's right. Some of the headlines I saw today. And it's like, well, that's detracting from the Black Lives Matter movement.
Which he, I know, feels strongly about.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. So hopefully, that he can get that back in that lane. I think he wanted all along.
John, that was one of the things he mentioned. I think it was on Saturday was his Zoom call where he said there's too much attention going to him not wearing a mask. It should be going towards, and he started listing off, obviously some of the names. And that's, I think, the one thing that I understand what he's trying to do. I understand his point. But like you guys just mentioned, it's almost taking away from it because now more people are talking about Dwight Howard about a mask than anything else. It's almost like he's hurting himself as far as getting that message out.
Yeah, and I think that every little edge you can take to stay healthy is for the sake of the entire operation. I mean, you may not think that that's an important thing, and maybe we are doing some silly things. Maybe when Dwight is by himself in the lobby doing his Instagram Live or whatever it is, maybe that's not a big deal to not be wearing a mask, but why not do it? Why not just follow the rules? Why not practice every single precaution that you possibly can, not just for yourself, but for your team and for the entire operation down there? Just do it. Just wear a mask. It's easy.
Mace, did you see Tobias Harris, his media availability today? Did you see that?
No.
From Philly?
No.
He came on, he was on for less than a minute. He said, we want to make sure that Daniel Cameron, Kentucky Attorney General, will arrest the cops and the officers involved with Breonna Taylor's death, and that's all I got to say. And then they asked another question, and he had the same answer, and is like, guys, that's the only message I want to get across. And then he came off the stage.
Good
so
for
that,
him.
That, well, are that's you a guys, powerful way of doing it.
Are you guys familiar with the details of the Breonna Taylor case?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It is. I mean.
Friggin' horrifying.
Yeah. I mean, it's the worst of all. And all these are bad. I mean, because they all end the same way. But hers was, she was at home, at sleep in her bed. They broke into the wrong house and shot her.
A no-knock warrant.
Yeah. Yeah, just so horrible, so tragic. I mean, there's no way. And then, Tobias Harris was saying, no one's ever been held accountable for it.
That's the one name, too, you're hearing a ton from NBA players on social. That's the one they keep bringing up. You know, so just as we kind of talked about prior to this, remember the conversation was, is the NBA, is this going to be potentially a distraction? I think the players are doing an amazing job of continuing to, you know, push the message. So they're keeping their word on it, and I think the NBA is obviously allowing them to do whatever they need to do. So I think that answer is being answered of whether it'll be a distraction or they can raise awareness. I think they're at least accomplishing a little bit of that goal.
All right, coming up next for you, and I have no idea what this is, but Sliwa texted me and says, hey, it's 6:15. It's all me. I got something big. I've been waiting all day to talk to you guys about it, and we're going to do it at 6:15.
So familiar. So
Sliwa?
Well, you texted me back, and you said, I have no idea whose number this is.
You're not in my phone. You're not in my phone. I'm sorry. You're not in my phone. That's what I send when I get a message. What do you do when you get a message from somebody that's not in your phone?
Ignore sorry, it. New number. New number.
No, is I that what you say?
I always ignore it because I don't have the heart to let him down.
It could be somebody, though.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't say who is this, because what if it's somebody you know really well?
I just say, sorry, you're not in my phone. That's harmless.
I'll say, hey, sorry about this, but can you tell me this? Just as simple as that. And they're typically, they'll respond.
I mentioned this earlier off the air, but it reminds me of...
I'm now scrolling through my phone looking for a number.
This is the worst case of that I can think of, is that... I saw Tommy Lasorda at the dugout club, and he was eating food from the buffet. And I walked up to him, and I said, Tommy, Steve Mason, good to see you. And Tommy said, I don't think I know you. And that was the end of the conversation.
You obviously made quite an impression on him.
Tommy remembers me well. All right, so whatever big thing Sliwa wanted to talk about is coming up next. Mason in Ireland, Sliwa's here. Hey, how you doing, guys? 710 ESPN. Kenny ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What do you got to read there, Sliwa?
All right, crosstalk on 710 ESPN, powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great cross trade service for our listeners right now. Go to powerproplumbing.com for a $99 drain cleaning from Power Pro Plumbing Heating and Air. Did you guys see, obviously, you guys saw LeBron's rookie card, what that went for?
Yeah.
Yes.
The $1.8
million. $1.8 million. You know what kills me about that, Sliwa?
What's that?
4 years ago, you could get it for $15,000.
4 years ago, you could get it for 15 grand?
15 grand.
What changed?
It became scarcer and scarcer. The value goes up over time, right? There's only 23 of those cards made.
But that seems like such a small time.
There's only 23 of those cards made.
Okay, do you guys know the most expensive baseball cards of all time, what they sold for?
Well, the Honus Wagner, I think, is the granddaddy of expensive baseball cards.
Do you know what that went for?
I'd say $5 million.
John, do you know what it went for?
The Honus Wagner card?
Yeah.
I think it went for more than $5 million. What'd it go for?
Unless I'm looking at something wrong here. Sold 2016 for $3.12 million.
Yeah, that's probably
$3.12 million. Wow.
Mickey Mantle, 1952. I think that's second. Sold in 2018 for $2.88 million.
Wow. I've got some valuable ones. I've got like a Tom Seaver rookie card. I've got a Steve Carlton rookie card. I've got a Nolan Ryan rookie card.
Somebody just tweeted, Mace, your performance on Game of Games. Mason just fumbled at the one and Funchess ran it back 99 yards.
It's 1,000% true. It was absolutely one of the dumbest things I've ever did on this show. And think about that for a second. Yeah, one of the dumbest things I've ever done on the show.
He gave up a 3-1 lead.
Yep, I did. Blew that save.
Have you always collected cards or no?
I have always collected cards. Yeah, from the time I was a little kid. I've got all my little kid cards, too. I've got probably three big, big boxes of baseball cards, and mostly baseball cards. And there was a time when I would speculate on cards, where I would look at cards and say, okay, I think this guy is going to be big. So I'm going to buy 100 of his rookie cards. And I would buy 100 of his rookie cards, like Frank Thomas. I have 100 Frank Thomas rookie cards.
Damn.
Now, I don't know exactly how to liquidate those. And I've heard people say that there were a lot of cards made in the 80s, so they're not as valuable. They look more for those 1970s cards. But now I've been thinking, all right, so right now I think Ronald Acuna is going to be the biggest star in the game. So shouldn't I buy one of his cards?
Why not? Go for it.
It's funny that you guys are talking about this, because I was talking with my brother today, because between him and I, we've have amassed a huge collection of memorabilia, especially cards, just from us collecting them growing up, and my dad's too. And we were talking about how stupid my dad and my uncle are for thinking how much money their stuff is worth, because it's worth nothing. And nowadays, you have to have everything graded and authenticated, which costs money in itself, in order to be able to sell it to the type of people that want to pay big money for it. So unless you're willing to sell a bunch of stuff in like a big lot for a bunch of money and like take a hit, or if you want to spend the time to like seek out collectors for specific items and piece it all out, they're right. not really worth a whole lot at all.
Yeah, that's what, Lindsay, I was going to say, I didn't even know it was still popular. And I used to collect cards back then. I think I still have boxes, you know, a couple boxes that I haven't even opened yet. I don't know if you guys ever have packs that you just never
I do.
Opened.
I have unopened packs.
Okay, so, and I don't even know what I'm waiting for. It's like, why don't you just go home this weekend and just open those? But I didn't know it was still popular. Like, I had no idea when I saw LeBron's to go for 1.8, whatever the case is. And I know that's very rare for basketball, but I had no idea there was still a following towards it.
Well, I know recently they've really like upped the game with the production, because first of all, I think there's only two companies making them now. There's Topps and I forget what the other, Upper Deck. And so they've kind of consolidated. There's not as many being manufactured. And they put a lot, like they'll have players sign like one in 500,000 cards, something like that, something crazy like that. They'll stick in autographs. They'll stick in the ones where they have like the pieces of their jersey or part of like the court and stuff like that. And like that makes them more valuable. But there's actually a little bit of a bubble going on right now with baseball cards.
Oh, you think there is a bubble?
Yeah, it's starting.
You would know bubbles because you're a Bitcoin investor.
That's right.
So are you.
Yeah, no, I know. What's Bitcoin at today?
The problem, though, with sports memorabilia is
9,100 is Bitcoin.
That's a little bit down from last week.
A little bit.
But yeah, with sports memorabilia, you have to find somebody who's willing to pay what you want to get. Like, it's so subjective, the value of stuff.
Mace, any changes to yesterday watching Dodgers Arizona? Just the experience. Were you good with exactly the way they did it? Or
totally good. You know, my favorite part of any Dodger game when I'm watching it on TV and there's no crowd.
Everybody,
clap your hands. I do it. I do it at home. I do it right here just to capture the game itself. You know what
Everybody
I'm saying?
Everybody, clap your hands.
See?
By the way, it's as good as I think viewing experience as you can have so far, and I know it will change. Like I think it's only going to get better for a TV audience, but that's not bad. I mean, even some of these MLS games I thought have been good as well. So I don't know, you know, how the NBA will come out, and I'm sure they're watching and they'll adjust as they go as well. But it's not bad so far. I mean, especially baseball, you know, obviously piping in the noise.
Yeah, the noise is totally credible. Now, what I'm interested to see is, I guess it just goes to, when the other team's up, it just goes to generic crowd noise.
Mm-hmm.
No booing, no jeering. It just goes to a generic crowd noise. There's cheering, obviously, when the home team is announced, but when the road team is announced. Is that right? Last time, I'm trying to think, did they play just generic crowd noise, or did they play any any boos? I don't think they played any boos.
No, I think
don't know.
It was
I'm
just
talking
generic.
I'm talking to our audio guy tonight. The Lakers audio guy is the best audio guy in the business, and I'm talking to him later tonight. I'm going to figure out how they do that. I read one article that said they get it from video games. That video games have like sound of any potential situation.
Well, yeah, baseball. By the way, John, they're using MLB The Show, which you played with me and George.
Right.
They've got the audio from that.
I think that's where they're getting it, but he'll give me the ins and outs, and I'll know more tomorrow.
Well, they announced today, Darren Rovell tweeted about it, that the MLB app, they're going to have specific cheering and booing for the teams as part of the piped-in crowd noise based on viewer participation. So within the app, you can go on the app and you can click boo, or you can click to vote on cheer. And based on whatever the time frame is before a player goes up to bat, that's what they're going to play.
I noticed that they did PA announcements. Do you think the PA guy is there doing
That's
announcements?
A really good question.
Or do they just have all that on tape?
That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that. Is Dieter Rule actually playing the organ, or is that recorded?
Well, I think the idea was to limit the people actually in the stadium to non-essential personnel. So I would think they could have gotten all that stuff recorded, both Dieter's stuff and the PA stuff. But I don't know. I'll try and find out.
John, yeah. John, what we've heard for Dodger games like yesterday, what we could hear on TV, is that exactly what they're hearing on the field as well?
I don't know if they're hearing it on the field. I know that's what Joe's hearing. He was with us earlier. He's got a headset on so he can hear the crowd noise. But I don't know if the players are hearing the crowd noise. That's a good question. My guess, I don't know how they would. You know, one thing the players are hearing, it's 6:24.
Yeah, 6:24!
It. Yeah, game's over.
God, game's over. I love when the players hear that. That means it's all over. Tomorrow, we've got Monster. It's a Monster Tuesday. We have got so much stuff coming up. Tomorrow's show may be better than today's. Maybe. I'm hoping. And Sliwa, what do you got?
Billy Mack, Bill McDonald will come on. And Trevor
Lane.
Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation will join the
show,
too.
Excellent. Cool. All right. Sliwa's coming on now for you. Me and Ireland back tomorrow, 2:55 sharp. Thanks, Linz. Thanks, Funch. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.